Alicia Sell. I'm at St. Elias Catholic Church on Cove Road. Today is June 8th, 2007, and I am here with Father Rudolph. Thank you for meeting with us. We're just going to do a basic, start out with a basic background about yourself. Where and when were you born?
Well, first, thank you for meeting with me, and I'd be happy to be of any assistance in this project of sharing information through the library, and I'm very supportive of the library work. Is my voice too low? Or
nope, you're perfect. Okay. I can make sure that it's working.
I was born in Lebanon in 1964. I came to the States for good in 1987, which is 23 years old. I was 23 years old.
Okay.
And I've been living in the States for the last 20 years.
Why did you come to the United States?
My father lived in the States, and he, for two reasons. First, to be with him because he was having an open heart surgery. And
do you have to answer that?
No.
I can put it on hold. Okay.
The other thing is, I don't remember how to delete this one. To continue my education in physical therapy.
Okay, so you started out with education in physical therapy over here. What made you decide to go into the priesthood?
What made you decide change mm-hmm. to the priesthood? It's a long story. I don't want to divert, get off the subject a bit. I'll make it brief. Why I decided to become a priest. It's not a decision. It's you find yourself at home when you're at church. I found myself at home. I enjoyed giving my time to the to God, not only part time but full time.
So, about how old were you then when you became a priest?
I became a priest when I was 33.
And when did you move to Roanoke?
November of 1997.
Okay, and you came here to be at St. Elias Church?
Correct.
Okay, tell me a little bit about what was St. Elias like when you first came here. What kind of size was it? Is it strictly for the Lebanese community, or what kind of membership do you have here?
When I first came here, the church was mixed of Lebanese and non-Lebanese descendant.
Okay.
When you say Lebanese, actually, it's not correct statement, because 90% of Lebanese, they're all American, of Lebanese descent.
Okay.
We have very few new immigrants, which you could call Lebanese,
okay.
Direct descendant, but they are, that counts a small minority, as a minority, but the majority of those who are of Lebanese descent do not speak Lebanese. They've been here for two or three generations. This church here began in its first location on Salem Avenue back in around 1914, 1917. The reason we have those two dates is there was a priest here. His name was Father Peter Rabel. He was visiting North Carolina, and the people invited him over to do the mass to celebrate the Divine Liturgy in Arabic for those immigrants. The Lebanese immigrant came to this part, of America, the United States, because it resembled their Lebanon, the country, the mountains, and the nature was very similar.
Is the climate very similar as well?
Climate very similar as well. The only difference is you have Lebanon is along the coast, the Mediterranean. So that's the only part missing. But in general, most of the immigrants came to this part because of the trains. The first immigrant, they worked as peddlers. They didn't have a, they were hardworking people, very resilient, very determined, and very how do you say it, proud, or they never would solicit or beg for money. They worked for their, they earned their living, and they refused to be dependent on anyone. So they worked very hard, like most immigrants. There's the story of the Lebanese immigrant resembles almost every nation that migrated to this country.
So in 1914, 1917, there was already an established community here.
There was people who are of Lebanese, immigrant Lebanese, living here already.
Okay.
And when they heard of a priest that is visiting North Carolina, they invited him to baptize their children or celebrate, pray for the divine liturgy. They used St. Andrew's Church for a while until they were able to save up some money. So by 1917, they were purchased a church on Salem Avenue. I think 525, or I don't remember the exact address. We could look it up. 917. It was, I believe, it was purchased by cash. I mean, it was debt free, and that's where they were. And Father Peter Rabel was here for almost 50 years until he died. His death in 64, I believe. He was succeeded by several priests. I mean, after his death, they were gonna close this church because there was no Lebanese priest. There was no priest to serve this community, Maronite. But the people here, they got together and they went to the bishop in Catholic bishop in Richmond and appealed to him to find them a priest. They refused to close their church and they really determined after 50 years, you know. So he finally found him a priest, Maronite, but until they were able to get another priest. They had few then they had a priest, his name Monsignor Asad Awad. He was here for a few years, 2-3 years, and left. He left to, I believe, Ohio for 3 years. During his absence, a few priests came over, and then he was back in 1970 for up to 1996-97. So altogether almost 27 years, 28, almost 30 years.
And then you were the priest
and there was, between him and I, there was a priest here for transition, 3 months, around 3 months, between July and July, August, and November. It's important to note that during the time of Monsignor Asad Awad, the church experienced a growth, physical growth in number and improvement in the facility. He was able to purchase this land that we are here on 4730 Cove Road. He purchased the land and he first built a social hall, a banquet hall, 1977. 1977, the banquet hall was used as a center for bingo. That was their major fundraising. St. Elias, Knights of Columbus, St. Andrew's Church, they all used the hall every week for bingo and for fundraising. So it became almost like a bingo center. with the proceeds and that helped build the church in 1980, around 1984, the church that is existing here now.
Is the church on Salem Avenue? Did they sell that,
that
or do they still
sold.
Use it?
It is. It was sold. And now it is a studio, photography studio.
Oh, actually, I think I know which one
yes.
it is.
I think it's the address is 525 if I'm
okay.
Salem.
Let me ask you a question about the early church and the early community from the church. What
mm-hmm.
kind of jobs did people in the community have?
That's a very good question, Alicia. Early Christians or early immigrants, they were peddlers. I mean, they traveled from one. They got in a train and they went from one city to another. And when they landed, when they got to Roanoke, they loved the scenery. It reminded them of home. So they got off and stayed here, and they opened their own little stores. They were peddlers here, but eventually they saved up some money, and probably around the in the 20s and 30s, there were many grocery stores owned by Lebanese. Sorry. Many grocery stores. So those early immigrants basically worked in trades. I mean, businesses, sales, and and you still have some like produce. Najm, fruit and produce. There's few stores still. I mean, businesses exist still. So those early immigrants worked very hard in what they knew best, trade and so. And
were they welcomed into the community?
Not really. That's a very again another question. But let me finish the first thought.
Okay.
They worked very hard, saved up money, but they made sure their children are educated. Education was what you call it, sacred. All their children were well educated. They end up with, high education, good education, high degrees, and low. I mean, in different fields, many fields, and one of them was and some of them became politicians, like God rest his soul, Vic Thomas, the House of Delegates. He was proud of his Lebanese, and as a matter of fact, his parents owned a grocery store.
Here in Roanoke.
Yeah.
Okay.
On Orange Avenue, and they worked. And he even inherited the grocery store till recently. They still have it. As a matter of fact, it's still, I don't know, 2-3 generation. So he was valid, and many of them like lawyers, and like the Ray Ferris, he's a prominent lawyer in the city.
Once their children were educated, did they stay here in Roanoke, or did they go out to other communities?
Most of them stayed here. Some might have left. But that's the biggest point. And the second question
were they accepted into the community?
Actually, no. They had to earn their acceptance. Unfortunately, they were treated. They were public places treated the Middle East, the Lebanese, or the, whatever you call them, like they treated the black people today. I mean, the black, we call them black. I don't know. African-American.
African-American,
I don't know the politically correct thing. But back then, they were treated equally, the same way, prejudiced against
mm-hmm.
both. For instance, public pool, swimming pools, they were not welcomed, allowed there. And I hear a lot of stories from people of, older people. They tell me, but not long ago, I mean, talk about maybe 40 years ago, maybe 50 years ago, that they, when they went to the swimming pool, the cousins, one would, who was blondish, white skin,
uh-huh.
would get in. They couldn't tell. While the one who had the Middle Eastern feature, dark skin, black hair, they wouldn't let her in. So that was, purchasing property on the deed. I mean, they would say you're not allowed to sell to Syrian or Lebanese, whatever. In other words, they did have to earn their respect. And they did work very hard. And the Lebanese community in Roanoke is prominent, respected. And you know, things change. Today, Roanoke is a cosmopolitan town, city, and you have all these different nationalities here. You know, when we celebrate the local color, you see all these different people. Can you pause for a second?
Yeah, sure. Okay, we're recording again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the Lebanese community, they earned their respect, the respect of the city, and as you know today, there was a nationwide change in the mentality of you know how to treat foreigners, you know. So,
and in many ways, they weren't necessarily foreigners anymore because they had been here for more than for generations.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Well, same like blacks. I mean, those came of African American descent. I would say African. Most of the, well, not all of them are from Afro-American, mm-hmm. African American. African descendants, but anyway, that's true. And as a matter of fact, during the Second World War, many people of Lebanese descent who were already born here served in the army and Marines, Air Force, and many. I mean, soldiers, intelligence. As a matter of fact, my secretary and her husband, they're both in intelligence. And I'm saying they did serve their country, and one of the most decorated soldiers in Virginia is Lebanese.
Really?
Yes, Joe Moses. I believe his name is Joe Moses.
Okay. I just had never heard of him,
His last name was Moses. I think Joseph. I better double check. But his last name is he is Lebanese. Just
okay.
One of the highly decorated soldiers. So they did really serve and contributed to this to the country and to the valley, to the Roanoke Valley. Today, where are they today? They are everywhere. They intermarried. They mingled with the society in a way that there's so many intermarriages, and
is it still a very strong, tight-knit community today?
Yes. Even though they are third generation of, two, three generations, they still hold their tradition. They still hold it up, and its family ties are very strong. All you have to do just turn, put on some Lebanese music. You see them all got. Well, they come from the bone, from the walls everywhere. They were Lebanese food. A few weeks ago, we had our Lebanese festival, and
how long has that been going on? The Lebanese festival.
This year was our ninth year. It started in 1998. Let me see, I'm sorry, 99.
So that started around when you came here?
98 will make it 99. A year after I was here, we started this festival. Not to say that they did not have festivals before, they did. They have major functions and events, but it was not annually, they had many functions, but this was an event that was meant to stay, to be annual, and
it's very successful, isn't it?
Thank God, it's been very successful, and it reunited the people, built a strong bond that we are. The pride of their tradition, of who they are, and as a matter of fact, people who have any roots, they have some roots to the Lebanese, and they would bring it up now. I mean, it's like if somebody is 1/10 Lebanese, you'd say, "Oh yeah, I have 1/10 Lebanese in me." You know, it's like that makes them people are coming out. And that was the main purpose of it, to bring this pride. I mean, not to boast, but to be, not to hide it. You know, we have a lot to offer. Lebanon is a, these are the descendants of the Phoenicians, the great Phoenician civilization, who adventurous, courageous. The Phoenicians are the one who invented the alphabet. You know, they, you know, with the cedar wood, they built the greatest boats and traveled the world. You know, and as a matter of fact, we were talking the other day that dance in America, in the South America, was thousands of years ago. The Phoenicians landed there before Christopher Columbus. So
right.
They got lost and they landed there and ended up, I don't know if they were killed or died, natural death, but they made it to this part of the world by accident, like Christopher Columbus got here by accident, I'm sure, as you know. But I mean, the Lebanese are this, they have that in their blood, adventurous, courageous. They trade, doing business and trade. But one of the biggest quality you find in them, their devotion to God, loyalty, the faith, and number two, of course, that goes hand in hand with family, God, the family, and the other beautiful quality is their love of hospitality. It's very common to see, go to Lebanon, if you go to Lebanon today, people will fight over this, who's going to welcome you better, who's going to treat you better. It's funny, I mean, it sounds funny that they do want to honor the guest, and they get, who's going to host you, who's going to, you know, they compete. So over hospitality. That's because I guess that's their Lebanon lives because of its beautiful nature and geographical strategic location on the Mediterranean. Always hosted many civilizations, been through that in the country, and it has beautiful mountains and green tree. I mean, no deserts really, rich in water. It's the richest country in the Middle East in water. It might sound, water, who cares about, but when you live in surrounded by deserts, water is more valuable than gold, you know. Other countries are rich in oil. Lebanon is the richest in water, mm-hmm. which I see that's a beautiful gift from God, you know. So that's why tourism is the biggest, the main source of income for the country. Mm-hmm. There are many the ruins of many civilizations. I don't know, for lack of words, I said ruins, but you find temples or castles, fortresses built by many civilizations. They are remarkable, different, you know, the art and the engineering of all different civilizations. They left their mark in that country because it's on the coast. So mm-hmm. when they traveled along the coast.
Yeah.
So they came through the land. So Lebanon has a lot of beautiful sights, place to see, natural beauty. I guess that made them more hospitable. They welcomed the guests. People been through their country. Yeah.
Well, I won't take too much longer of your time, but is there anything that we didn't cover that you'd like to mention?
I forgot to cover. I had rice and beans. I forgot to cover them in the kitchen. Should I go back and cover them? Gonna get cold. Gonna edit this? No.
Well, thank you very much for meeting with us, me.
Yeah, you're welcome. Well, actually, as a conclusion, I think I look into the future. Usually we look, what do you hope for? What do you wish? My view, unfortunately, I'm being transferred the next few days, you know, I'm moving. But the people are living, my hopes and my view of what tomorrow is going to bring is you will the people might not stand out as Lebanese because they're already American first, and they don't speak Lebanese. The language is, but it's in their blood. Those of Lebanese descent will continue to enrich this valley with their and inspire them with their loyalty first to God and to family. And in any country, anywhere in the world, when you see those two great values held, you could predict a great future. When you have always placed God number one and family protect and defend and hold it close, you could, and that's, I guess, what we need to work on. And actually, that maybe help our country who need help on that in the field department of family, because family is a little in danger now.
Yes.
It's threatened, when you say family, you think about children. Children, when they have no home or broken families, you're seeing a future is broken. So I hope and pray that the Lebanese continue to inspire our country, American of Lebanese descent, continue to inspire our nation and love of God and family.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Alicia.